You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
It's Friday, and I'm Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, July 3rd, episode 3987, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We have Danette from horsegrooms.com. It's going to discuss the realities of professional grooming and what she's trying to do to help them over there on that side of the barn. We also have a new segment called Horse of the Week, and we have a winner for the box of crap and some really bad ads. And then the Auditor Post Show, we're going to talk about what are your favorite colors off a poll.
You know, to be fair, I asked that for a specific reason, and I was shocked at the amount of answers, so I can't wait to hear.
Well, we have the results. I was interested to see what the results would be because
I didn't even list every color.
We'll get to that in the post show. First, our thoughts. I woke up this morning to four of my friends, including listeners of this show, who've had to bug out of their farms in Colorado. The fires there are just incredible. And of course, there's been some deaths of firemen and things like that. It's just all over the state, too. It's not just one location. So our prayers are with all of you over there.
One of the fire that Betty Faye had to evacuate from is like 40. So it's like the biggest in the country. It's so huge.
Like 40,000 acres. It's just
43, enormous. I think.
The pictures are just incredible to see. And I know there's been a ton of homes lost, and it's just devastating. Mm,
it's awful. I did talk to TJ at the Maytag Mountain Ranch because I head there Monday, and I'm like, are we cool? Like, what's going on? And he said that it's east of them, but I mean, he sent me pictures of just right behind the mountains. It just looks like clouds are coming out of the ground. It's just so much smoke. And he said that when the wind is heading away, he was like, we don't get anything. There's no smoke smell or anything. He goes, but that's the problem, is because when there's wind blowing the smoke away, that means it's fanning the flames. So he was like, we'll take the smoke and stop doing the fire. You know,
said the winds were up to 100 miles an hour. It's crazy. I mean, hurricane
nuts.
Force.
Oh, so yeah. Sorry, everybody. Oh.
Yeah. Let's hope you don't. Let's hope you're okay next week.
There's something everywhere, I swear.
Yeah.
It's just, there's always something.
We had a 13-acre fire again over here right in the forest. And this time it was blowing our direction, and we had the smoke for a couple of days. And I don't know how people live with that. You know, it's horrible. It's not fun. No. All right. We're thinking about all of you over there. All right. I have a brand new segment I want to start doing on Fridays at the beginning of the show. You and
okay, explain yep, this to me, please.
We get Google alerts every day of everything that involves a horse in the country, right? Or the world, actually. And I just thought it'd be fun and you can do it too, but you don't have to. I'm not making you. I'm just going to pick my Friday horse of the week as the horse in all the news stories. I went, oh, that's kind of a cool story. That's going to be my horse of the week. So there's no rhyme or reason to it. It might be a sport horse one time. It might be a horse that was rescued. It might be a horse that won a Grand Prix. It's just whatever strikes my fancy that week. So this is Glenn's Friday Horse of the Week, is what it is. And I have a little bumper for it. There you go.
That's my bumper. I was very regal. Here comes the king.
It's the king's Friday Horse of the Week. The horse of the week, and you're going to relate to this one, and I partly picked it because you will relate to this one. His name is Jaro. He's a 3-year-old Mustang gelding, and he was the star of the Bureau of Land Management's Northern Nevada Correction Center wild horse adoption event last weekend.
Yeah, they just had that on the 27th.
Yep, that's right. And this was the star. He went for $9,500. He was the highest bid of the entire auction. He spent 4 months at the correction center getting training, and he's 15-1 and was a striking buckskin. But the reason he went so high is his temperament. He apparently was this chill chilled out dude. And that's why the bidding war started, and he ended up being the highest bid there. And apparently he's gone to be a trail horse. Somebody's bought him to be a trail horse. They apparently had a lot of people there from all around the country this time, not just from the local area, but there were bidders from everywhere. At this auction. It seems to be getting more popular since you went years ago.
Oh, yeah, sure. When I went 10 years ago. They turn out some amazing horses. I ended up with Thor on the first auction, who was like $900, you know, and then by the next year when I went, I think I paid $2,600, you know.
Now it's $9,500.
And now it's many, but even back then, like in the next couple of years, especially like the COVID times and stuff, people just went crazy and they will spend like $20,000+. It's crazy what people will spend at this auction. But then you get a horse for like me, $900 one time. So, but it's a really cool thing to support and to be a part of.
Does the money go back to feeding the horses at the prison, or does it go back to the BLM?
BLM. Okay. BLM gets it. But I'm assuming that they fund a lot of this program. Yeah. You know, they have to. So.
This is one of the most successful prison programs with horses, too. I know a couple of others have closed it down, but they're still doing it. So good
it's, for just, them. It's just awesome. Yeah.
Good for them. See, now, didn't I pick a good one for my first week?
That was pretty good. Pretty good. All right. I like it.
All right. From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
We have one auditor birthday this weekend, and that's Amanda C. Happy birthday to you, Amanda. We hope you have a terrific weekend. And we have a brand new auditor as well, Tegan. By the way, I think that's the coolest name. So welcome, Tegan. We're glad you're here.
Hi, Tegan.
I saw she already joined the auditor room and already posted her first post. So we're glad you're here, Tegan, and we hope you enjoy.
Okay, I'm going to get the first one out of the way. USA! USA! Oh, my gosh. We're World Cup crazy. And the U.S. won their World Cup.
I cannot believe you sit through. With your ADD, how do you get through a soccer game?
Okay, here's what happened.
How do you do it?
This is like the greatest way to watch a World Cup game. Okay, so Chad and Lucas ran off and went to their brother's house, to Chad's brother's house, to watch it. And I like cleaned the barn, rode a horse, picked weeds out in the pasture, went to my manure, but all this. And then I came in, took a shower, got all ready, turned, sat down, watched some bronc riding for a little while. I'm home by alone. I get to watch whatever I want. It never happens. So I watched the bronc riding and I was like, oh yeah, the World Cup game. And if you go to like thing, it'll be like catch up through, you know, plays, important plays. And I caught up to like the last 5 minutes of the World Cup game.
Oh, you can just skip ahead?
No, I don't skip it. It picks it. It's like, hey, we're going to show you all the stuff that happened. It was like 11 plays in an hour and a half.
There was some serious controversy in the game last night I saw too.
It was. So it was very dramatic, but that's really not what my daily Winnie is about. But Monday night, we're going to have the next game. And I'm just, you know, USA and Cabo Verde are my teams. Let's go, boys.
Too. So it could eventually USA and England could play each other, which is kind of ironic. Cool. It's July 4th weekend.
How cool would it have been if US played England on July 4th on the 250th? Like, you can't write it. But not to happen. Anyway, let me get back to the meat of it. I also want to give a daily mini, sort of. I'm gonna give it and then suck it right back to Dr. Coy. Dr. Coy is the veterinarian who works at Royal Vista Equine. And Serafina, I know you're listening and you're gonna tell him what I'm saying about him. So don't tell him anything bad. Okay. So Dr. Coy called me the other day and I just get a phone call and he was like, hey, Jamie, how's your baby working out? Of course, Butters, because I adopted Butters from the nurse mare program. And I was like, oh my God, I love him. Like, it's unhealthy how much I love this horse. I love him. And he was like, well, since that worked out so well, I got about three more that don't have homes. And I was wondering if you wanted to come, you know, say, which one do you want? And I was like, I'm sorry. My barn is full right now. Like, I just adopted a horse from New Vocations. I have this other, the Andalusia. I'm good. And then he starts talking to me about him. And I was like, well, maybe I can help find homes for them for you. So I went yesterday to Royal Vista and
that was the first mistake. Who thinks that was going to go well?
So I was like asking around. I'm like, there's this one, this one, this one. What does everybody like? And then I went and I was like, oh my God, I love him. The technically is supposed to be a blue roan. I don't know what color he's going to end up. They're all Colts, of course. All Colts. And they're all available. And so I have video and pictures of all of them. And I like literally fell in love with him. He loves me, actually. It wasn't even me loving him. He loves me. Okay. And so I have videos and pictures if anybody wants to see.
What's the first thing we tell people when they go out to buy a horse?
Well, first of all, don't look at his face. But his face came right up to me, Glenn.
Well, not to fall in love at first sight. That's what we tell people. Don't fall in love
at
first sight.
I was out in the sun in the paddock for 45 minutes looking at babies, Glenn. This is studied. And by the way, I did not go for me because let me tell you. So Dr. Coy, thank you very much. You've caused. And of course, I come home and I'm like, Chad, oh my God. And he's like, you should totally get it. Oh. He goes, you know why? Because I don't have to take care of it. I'm like, exactly. So my other veterinarian, Dr. Rasmussen, who is, she does all of my osteopathy. She's been on the show before. I was telling her about it and I was sending her the videos. And then she came over and was bringing me some stuff. And I said, what do you think? I was like, there's one that's like a bay that's a draft cross. Oh my gosh, my husband has wanted a draft cross forever. And I'm like, he does? I'm like, your husband wants a draft? She's like, he has always wanted one. And I was like, well, she goes, okay, but he doesn't know it yet. So just don't say anything. But if you like it, and I'm like, wait. You're the veterinarian. You say that your husband has wanted this horse forever. He just doesn't know it yet. That is some wifing hardcore. Love it.
That's Dr. Love Rasmussen it. Saying, I really wanted a draft cross, but I'll just say it's my husband's.
My husband has always wanted a draft cross. He is a horse guy, but like my husband has always wanted a draft cross. I love her so much more after that statement. I was like, yes.
So you got two of them adopted out.
No, I don't. Well, see, the thing is, like, I sent the videos to her and she was like, oh, you know, I think she might have dropped something and probably met with violence. So we'll see. but I really like it. So anyway, I'm going to call the clinic today and just see. And you guys, like, I've got all these pictures, videos of, and by the way, I went out on a field yesterday with like 80 babies, 80 mares and foals. It was magical and awesome. And I took Lucas. Oh my gosh, it's so fun. It's so fun. So fun. So anywho, I really like this baby and I'll have to post a picture and video of him in a little bit because he's super cute and I don't need another horse. I don't need another horse.
That also listeners could get if they.
Yes. Yes.
What do they do? Just contact you?
So typically, yeah, you can contact me. I'll be your broker. I don't mind. Like, let's do it. One is a little tiny black thing. And they said the mom is part Frisian. I'm going to go with mom is Frisian adjacent because she's black and she has some feathers. But anyway, it's a little black colt. And then there is the bay draft cross. And Dr. Coy told me, like, think draft with an Amish kind of flair. So like whatever that is. So typically their mares.
Well, that might mean it's sensible.
Exactly. Typically their mares, you know, they breed them back to all the really nice quarter horse stallions around here. So the babies have some good blood, but they bought these mares pregnant. So they don't know. So this is going to be the most exciting DNA testing ever for all of you. Think of the adventure you're going to have. So little black colt and a bay draft colt. And again, I'll post pictures of all of them.
What do they get them at, 6 weeks? They get them at how old
are they? 6 months. Six months? Typically, you know, their mamas are not being used. So these three colts.
But they're weaned when you get them.
They will be weaned. They're not weaned now. They're literally like a month old. They're tiny and cute.
But when
you
get them, they're weaned.
They will be weaned when you get them. Yes. But remember Butters had to get weaned at 2.5 months. So I didn't have to give him milk or anything. Now these guys, they said will stay longer with their mamas. So that's great. But I mean, talk about like, they're in a pasture with like 80 other babies. Talk about being socialized. Yeah. It's just, it's amazing.
It's like a, like the wild horse packs.
Exactly. Exactly. So if anybody wants a baby, I maybe can help you. And even if your husband doesn't know that he's always wanted a draft cross, we will get him one. So anyway, thanks everybody. That's super fun. And Serafina, I want to tell Dr. Coy, because I know you're going to call him later because she listens to the show, that I want the blue roan adjacent colt, and that I said all nice things about him. Thank you.
And I think that's why we're talking about colors in the post show.
I don't know what you're talking about, Glenn.
Now I know. Hey, I posted this in the auditor room, but I wanted to tell all the listeners, you've heard me talk about a YouTuber by the name of Itchy Boots. She's a Dutch girl that rides her motorcycle around the world by herself.
And I tried to watch it.
She's been in Mongolia. And this latest episode she did. So if you go to Itchy Boots on YouTube and just look up her latest episode, she's in Mongolia. First of all, two comments. She rides freaking forever in Mongolia and there's just nothing. There's not a tree, there's mountains, and just nothing. I mean, Mongolia is the biggest expanse of nothingness and no humans ever. And then you come across a yurt out in the middle of nowhere. And of course, there's wild horses everywhere, but she made a special trip to find the Chevalsky horses that they turned loose. Years ago we covered that, and they finally returned them to the wild again. And they've been wild now for a number of years. And there's about 400 of them now. So she knew the mountains where they were, and she went up to check it out on her motorcycle, and she got some beautiful video of the wild horses, of the Chevalskys. And they are different looking. They kind of look like...
They're prehistoric looking.
Yeah, kind of. They have the mane that has a stripe, too. So they're kind of fjord-like, almost. They kind of look like fjords, actually. But there were a bunch of babies, too. And they were playing and kicking, and the stallions were going after each other. It was great footage. So if you want to check that out, it was toward the end of the latest episode on Itchy Boots. You can find it there. I just thought, you know...
I tried to watch it. I was so stressed out for her. I was, like, so nervous.
What you have to say to yourself, because she gets to the side of those mountains and you think she's going to die. And sometimes she gets close. But what you have to say to yourself is she lived to post the video.
Okay.
So she's alive, right? That's how we have to look at it, because some of the things on the sides of those mountains we can't watch. I mean, she's in some hairy situations sometimes, but she's still here.
I wonder if you ask her, would you rather meet a bear in the woods or a man, what she would say.
I watch a guy, I've been following a guy on YouTube who's hiking around the world, and he's hiked like 6,000 kilometers already.
Do you just like watching people do stuff you would never do?
Exactly. That's exactly right. So anyway, his biggest problem is not bears. It's not humans. It's dogs. It's just loose dogs is his biggest problem. He's had more problems with loose dogs everywhere in the world than anything else. She also is most terrified about the dogs. Because they're loose, they come chasing after her. You know, they get in worst case, they get in front of her and she hits it. You know, that's the biggest problem. So you think it'd be humans. She handles herself pretty well, but it's not. It's dogs. And the hiker is the same way. So tie your dogs up. Apparently, nowhere in the world do people actually have their dogs contained. That's just not a United States thing. That's a world thing. When your horse loses significant amounts of electrolytes and fluids as he sweats, like right now when it's 100,000 degrees all across the country, problems such as dehydration, muscle cramping, fatigue, tying up, and colic may occur. Even in mild forms, these conditions can have negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Research shows that electrolytes can help regulate nerve and muscle function and maintain a healthy fluid balance. Summer Games Electrolytes is formulated to replenish electrolytes and trace minerals that are lost when your horse sweats, regardless of the season. It also stimulates the thirst response so he continues to drink and stay properly hydrated. For more information, visit kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. And this particular formula was developed for the United States equestrian team at the Atlanta Olympics. We have it in our barn. So, and this time of year, geez, they all need it. It's so freaking hot. We hit 100 degrees for the first time this summer the other day.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. But I'm taking solace in the fact that everybody north of us is hotter than us right now. So it's hotter on the East Coast than it is in Florida right now. So
now that everybody's going to want to move to Florida now after you said
yeah,
that, Glenn.
Yeah, we're nice and cool down here.
Yeah, it's like so summery and breezy.
Have you hit 100 yet? You probably have, I would think.
We haven't hit temperature-wise 100, but we have had, like, the heat index over 100 because it has been monumentally humid here. I think July 4th is going to be our hottest day. We're scheduled to be on Saturday 98, but then your heat index will plunge away way higher than that. So
the one time I went to Jennifer and I went to visit Jamie, it was 103 or 4 each day. It was so hot.
Yeah, that was like record heat too. Just I was like, welcome, this
it was
is fun.
So hard. We thought we were getting away from it. Nope. Well, coming up next, we have Danette from horsegrooms.com. And I met Danette at AHP, at the AHP meeting last month or a month before. I don't even remember when it was anymore. But we had a nice chat, and I wanted to have her on. I knew about horsegrooms.com anyway, and I wanted to have her on to talk about this because I think it's something that's so important. Hi, Danette.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. Where are you at? Where do you live?
Well, I'm in Traverse City now at the horse show over there, but I am from the Netherlands. I'm here on a visa, and I'm still working for a barn and doing horse grooms on the side.
And where in the Netherlands are you from?
A little town called Hattem. It's one of the most beautiful towns in the Netherlands, but it's in the north, like close to Zwolle. It's in a rural area with a lot of horses.
And snow, a lot of snow?
Only in the winter when I was little. Like it's no. It's warming up and there's not a lot of snow anymore. No,
okay.
Unfortunately.
All right. You said North Netherlands and all I can think of was snow. So.
No, not anymore. 40 years ago, yes, but not anymore.
Well, you came from there, but you've traveled all over the world as a groom, right?
Yeah, as a little bit of everything I did, like as a groom, as a young horse rider, an instructor or coach. Yeah, I worked in Argentina as a rider of young horses, in Wellington as a groom, in New Zealand as a barn manager, and in China as an instructor and also rider of young horses. So a little bit. And now I've been in the U.S. for years, and I've also done everything from picking poop to teaching and home riding most of the time and grooming.
I don't think we've ever talked to anybody that's worked horses in China before.
No, it was a special experience. It wasn't my best experience, but it was a really good experience just to get to know the culture, to get to know the people. Traveling in general is so helpful. You learn so much. You start to understand people better, where they come from, how they think, why they do as they do. And it's very so it was a really good experience, but I don't want to be a horse in China. I can tell you that.
Okay. Well, tell us why you started horsegrooms.com and what the mission is.
Yeah, well, there's two reasons. First reason is horse welfare. I wanted to contribute my little thing to horse welfare because I think, you know, social license to operate is a big theme. Also in the U.S. right now, I think it started a little bit earlier in the Netherlands. And I wanted to contribute my little thing to improve horse welfare because I think as an industry, we can do better, we should do better. But I also want us to keep riding horses and to be able to keep horses because there are also a lot of things that we do really well. And then there was the thing about grooms that I think grooms are incredibly knowledgeable people, most of them, not everybody, but that's everywhere. So, and they didn't get the recognition and the acknowledgement they deserve. And I combined those two, and I always like to write. I wrote for horse magazines in the Netherlands, and I like to educate and to connect people, and all those things together led me to start Horse Grooms.
So what does Horse Grooms do? What are you doing? I assume grooms join up, but what actually happens?
What happens is we have a website, an online community and we organize meetups. Now, for now, it's basically mainly in Wellington, but we would like to expand those. And we try to educate grooms, but also use grooms to educate other people, just to exchange knowledge and to uplift the whole industry by acknowledging grooms, but also by using their knowledge to educate other people. And in the long run, it's to improve horse welfare. And if you improve horse welfare and groom welfare, you uplift the industry and everybody gets better. I think it's better for owners, for horses, for riders, for the results, for grooms, if you improve their working conditions, for example. In the end, I think the whole industry is gonna it's gonna be better for the whole industry.
Benefit them.
Do you think it's gotten better for grooms in the last couple of years, their conditions, pay, all of that stuff in the last couple of years, or has it stayed the same? Where do you think it is now?
Well, there's definitely a shift happening, but by far not for everybody yet. So the good thing is that there's a lot more acknowledgement. Grooms get put in the spotlights more. Sometimes their name is on the start list or at the World Championships in Herning a couple of years ago, they were on the big screen, their names. But that's only a little bit. And it starts with that. So it's absolutely a step in the good direction. But you also want the home grooms, the grooms from the little barns or from the school riding schools, that they have good working conditions. And that's still not at a lot of places. Grooms are still not earning the right amount of money, or they work way too hard, or they get no days off, or they don't get, like if they work 3 weeks in a row and they don't get compensated for that. So there's still a lot that is not good, but in general, there's a shift starting to happen. So that's good, a positive shift.
Because of all the things you just described, the burnout rate with grooms has always been extraordinarily high, right?
Yeah,
you can only do that for so long before you just burn out any job. I don't care what it is and how much you even like it, right? You're working
I don't agree with that. If you treat people well, then you should be able to do this until you're 65 years old.
My point. If they're working 7 days a week and never get a break and they're in that, they're going to burn out. I mean, you have to treat them right. And then I agree, then they won't, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that will be good for everybody in the end. In the end, you keep the good grooms in the industry. They're not leaving when they're 35 and burned out or their body isn't working well anymore. If you can keep those really experienced good grooms in the industry, that will benefit everybody.
I have heard, you hear this all the time now, that people are having trouble finding grooms. And hopefully that rings a bell with the owners and the trainers, and they go, you know what, maybe I do have to, change the way I treat my grooms, right? You hope that's the case. I don't know if it actually
No,
is.
That's what we hope too. And there are also a lot of good employers out there. What we try to do with horse grooms, we try to share the good stories also. We don't want to complain all the time because it's a beautiful job and there are many employers who do a great job with their grooms. So if we share those good examples, we hope other people will follow or other employers will think, hey, why is that employer keeping their grooms so long? What are they doing differently than what I'm doing? So that's how we try to approach the whole that problem.
I'm sure
I love that idea. Yeah, actually, I'm sorry to interrupt here. I love the idea of you taking these grooms and using them to teach other people. There's such a issue with current horse care where a lot of people that board their horses, they're not involved in the day-to-day care of their horses. And I love the idea of using them to teach. Like you could put on like giant clinics, like come learn from these people, like how to wrap a leg, how to like braid horse, everything to like abscesses and medical stuff that grooms just deal with on a day-to-day basis. I think you're on the right track there because we need that.
Yeah, and you know, some of the best horse people never set foot in the ring. Huh? We posted that on social media yesterday or the day before, whatever, and it got a lot of responses because it is true. There are many grooms are amazing horse people, seriously, and they spend the most time with the horses, more than the rider most of the time, more than the owners, so they know the horses really well.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think the eventers have done have been doing a better job about acknowledging their grooms than if I'm going to look at all the disciplines. I just think eventers have been kind of ahead of the curve on that.
They have like whole awards for them and everything shows.
I think Max Cochran was kind of leading that charge and probably still.
Yeah, she's doing an amazing job. She's
been a friend of the show since we started this show, and we love having her on because she's one of the most knowledgeable and smartest people we know. You know? And, you know, a lot of barns always counted on the working students that work for free, right? Exchange for lessons or whatever to do the most of the work. And I think what they're learning now is there's less and less of those too.
People also know, like, okay, this, if I'm still broke when I'm 35, then something needs to happen. I cannot stay in this profession, or I have to start with something else and just keep horses as a hobby.
Yeah, room and board doesn't put savings in the bank.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're out there doing this. I know it's a feat to start something like this and to get it going. So have you seen a good reaction from the grooms, joining up and being part of the community?
Yeah. We have more than 1,300 grooms in the community, in the online community now, and we get very good responses to the meetups we do in Wellington, and overall, like worldwide, people are really happy with what we're doing. And my only hope is that it will be supported, will get supported a little bit more by the industry also, so that this can become a sustainable organization for many years to come.
Are you seeing one discipline accepting it more than another, or is it across the board? Or,
well, my problem is that I'm mainly in the hunter jumper industry, so that is also where we are. Not that we are, that's where horse grooms is happening the most, if I can say it like that. But I would love it to be like a main hub, a grooming hub for all disciplines. So it's just because of me, because of my roots in the hunter jumper industry, that is the main discipline right now. But I would love it to be a grooming hub for all disciplines.
Yeah, and I think that'll happen as you start to get more and more people involved. You'll kind of have you'll have your leaders emerge in eventing and dressage and whatever, Western or whatever, right?
Racing, Western, polo,
Yeah. Well, congratulations on putting this together. I know these things are a lot of work, but I definitely think it's much needed. I think times are changing and the industry has to grow and change too. And that's obviously for horse welfare and people welfare in this case.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Well, Danette, thank you for doing this. Where can people find out more if they are a groom or if they're, if they're an organization that hires grooms, where can they find more?
Yeah, if they go to our website, they can find everything, and that is www.horsegrooms.com. So cannot be much easier to find us, I think. If you Google horse grooms, then you'll find us, I think.
Well, Danette, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
For this day in equine history. And on this day in 1775, under the shade of what became known as the Washington Elm in Cambridge, Massachusetts, George Washington officially took command of the Continental Army. And what's so special about that is he was mounted at the time he did that. And that's why most of his imagery you see in statues and things like that around the country are of him on horseback. Is because he actually took command while on horseback, and they just kept that image going through the years.
But didn't he, like, I mean, he, like, did famous stuff on a horse. Yes. You know, like,
and he had very famous horses, but the horse, I did do some research, the horse he was on here, there's no record of which horse it was, and it wasn't one of his famous later battle horses. This was just a horse. Just that there was no record of which horse. But on July 4th in 1940, the bylaws and official public launch plans for the American Quarter Horse Association were finalized and celebrated over the holiday weekend. It marked the formal recognition of the ultimate American utility and sprinting horse, which would grow into the largest breed registry in the world, and that was the very beginning of the AQHA in 1940. Hard to believe. That's 80 years ago.
So I did know that, you know, they always talk about how they have the most people in the whole.
Most horses registered.
Well, and yeah, people registered too. Yeah. Like, because when you go to get your papers, for like, I bought a half quarter horse one time, and to get her papers, I had to join the AQHA. And I was like, this is extortion. Like, this seems, but guess what?
Don't
I just had to
require that.
I just had to apply to get Amigos papers, and I had to join the Dang Andalusian Society.
It's required, so, I think, yeah.
Same thing.
You're going to join them all here eventually.
I know, but I had to register Pink's Oldenburg babies. I had to pay for her registration the year that the horses were conceived and the year they were born. I'm like,
really?
Yes.
That's extortion.
It was extortion. And they were like, and you have to be a member those years too. And like the whole, I was like, just here, take my credit card.
Here's
and I'll
$1,000 to register.
Yeah, it was absolutely that. It was crazy.
On July 4th in 1972, Secretariat stepped onto the racetrack for the very first time at Aqueduct Racetrack. He did 5.5 furlongs, his maiden race, and it didn't go particularly well. He was badly bumped at the gate and trapped behind a wall of horses, but he did make a late run, but he closed and came in fourth. But it was the only time in his career that he finished off the top three. So his first race did not go. I did not know.
Gotta start somewhere.
And he got bumped. So, you know, the baby horses that get bumped, usually that disturbs them. So,
and did you hear Aqueduct is closing?
Yes,
132 years they've been going, and they're closed now.
I did see that. There's a bunch of them that are going to be closing, I think, unfortunately.
I think it was Sunday, the last Sunday they closed.
Hey, we're really concerned about the ones here in Florida, because if they get it where they're disconnected, where they separate them from the casinos, those racetracks are going to be closed in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. I don't know.
There's a casino in the one here, Remington Park, and that floor. I can go down and walk to the front of the racetrack and stand right at the finish line, and they do cartwheels and nobody's around. Yeah, you go upstairs to the casino, which has all slots. Oh my God, you can't even get it.
Is that all they have at that one, is slots? They don't have the board games or anything?
I you know, I haven't spent a whole lot of time
card
in there.
Games, because... Board games. How about card games?
Board games.
Play the Monopoly up there.
Chutes and ladders over here. Who's in?
Maybe we need to start our own kind of casino, and it's just all board games that you bet on.
No smoking, and you can gamble on just about anything.
Yeah, play dominoes.
Dominoes. Uno!
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when we read ads submitted by our listeners, either from Craigslist or Facebook or someplace, and we just have a little bit of fun with them. We've had a lot of submissions, and it's time to give away the prize, which, of course, this month is one of my boxes of crap out of my closet. So you're going to get all the stuff I don't want. Whoever wins this, I do not want any of it back. I don't want any complaining. It's in the name. It's a box of crap.
It is not actual crap, like from your kitty litter box. Like yeah. it is stuff that you and I like. It's just he's a horse guy and he doesn't care.
I don't care. And you know, the problem I had with this is early on when I had boxes of crap, we were getting a lot of crap from companies and it was good stuff. So they'd get these boxes of crap and they'd brag about what good stuff they got. So now when I actually have a box of legitimate crap, I'm going to get complaints. I know it.
So this is legitimate.
This is legitimate crap out of my closet that I don't want. So you're.
Are you giving us like some of your socks with holes in them? Like, what are you doing here?
No, I use those for rags. So you're not getting the socks. That's too good. That's not crap.
Isn't crappy enough?
Pick a number between 1 and 265.
I was trying to think of the name of the number of one of the World Cup players, but I can't. So we're going to go with, I think one of the guy's numbers is 8.
Number 8. The winner is Caitlin D. So congratulations, Caitlin. I'll get Drzelski. Your address.
Come on.
I don't usually give last names, but you can't say it anyway, so it doesn't matter. So, Caitlin, you're the winner. I will be in touch with you to get your address to send you your box of crap, and then you can give it away to somebody else. I don't care what you do with it.
Regift!
All right, let's do some bad ads. We have a bunch of people that we aren't going to get to this week. Let me find them. Angela, Caitlin's sending an ad. Look, this proves it. We didn't even read it, yet you won the prize. So there you go. Michelle, and Debbie. You sent in ads, and we do appreciate it, but we just don't have time to get to them all every week. Now, do you remember last week we had a submission, an audio submission from Rebecca in Australia? And I forget what the ad was, but you said I could listen to her voice all day. Rebecca, just call in and tell us what's going on in Australia. You know, tell us what your life is like. Well, she did. You want to hear it?
Oh my gosh, really? Yay! Yeah.
Here you go. Oh, that's the wrong one. Forget that.
G'day, Glenn and Jamie. It's Rebecca checking in with the requested report from Australia. We're right in the middle of winter down here. Now, don't picture snowdrifts and frozen lakes. Our winters are pretty mild. The biggest giveaway is the short days rather than the temperature. Every morning starts the same way. I wander outside with a cup of coffee and check my boots for funnel web spiders. Now, in full transparency, I've never actually found a funnel web in there. The worst I've found was a very surprised frog. It gave us both a fright, but fortunately, neither of us is dangerous. Then it's time for what every horse owner around the world does before they think about breakfast.
Before we get to breakfast, I looked up funnel web spiders. It's one of Australia's most dangerous spiders and is thought to be responsible for 13 recorded deaths, while capable of causing death in as little as 15 minutes. No deaths have been recorded since the development of an anti-venom in the 1980s. But let me tell you, this is one horrific-looking spider.
You better, number one, get that anti-venom quick if you have 15 minutes before you die. Number two, I also would check my boots every day. Sometimes when I was wearing them. And then number three, she found the one non-poisonous animal in her boot. Yeah. The one frog that won't kill you in Australia.
All right, let's go carry to breakfast.
On. Count legs, 4 feet on the ground, ears pricked, everyone looking bright enough to demand food. That's always the first little win of the day. Our place is a small acreage on the New South Wales south coast, tucked between the Great Dividing Range and the Pacific Ocean. We back onto a temperate rainforest gully, so there's wildlife everywhere. Thankfully, about 95% of it is adorable rather than terrifying. Kangaroos, wallabies, wombats, echidnas, possums and gliders are all regular visitors. The birds put on a concert every dawn, and the smell of the gum trees drifting through the morning air, well, that's the smell of my home. We're also lucky enough to have the two biggest spotted gums in the world just up the road. Aussies tend to not make a fuss about things like that, but they're pretty magnificent. One of the best parts of living here is riding my horse. In the space of a few hours, I can wander through cool rainforest gullies, climb high into dry sclerophyll forest, then pop out onto beaches that, if you ask me, are about as good as anywhere on the planet. Next time, I'll take you on one of those rides. See ya from down under.
I want to go to her house.
Where does she live? I'm Googling tickets like right now.
Jeez. That sounds absolutely magnificent and perfect.
You know what? Only an Australian would make Australia sound great. Have you seen the videos of Chris Hemsworth like bringing in giant snakes that were like trying to eat his children? So let's temper our expectations a little bit there, Glenn. But being said, I still want to go.
I know. I just want to hang out with her.
She'll check my boots for me.
Yeah. Make sure you don't die that day. But what about trail riding? I mean, all of those things in one, that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's pretty lovely.
Cool. All right. You're first up.
Okay.
Janelle, actually.
Janelle sent this one in. Oh, boy. This is from one of my favorite Facebook pages. Quality horses in South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, and what is that, Virginia? Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm looking for a horse I can use for lessons. I teach lunge line lessons, dressage, Western dressage, and rider biomechanics lessons. So I need something that is safe, calm, and willing to plod around. If it's got more woe than go and can't be arsed to... Can't be arsed to buck, scoot, bolt, rear, or any other kind of shenanigan. I'm interested. 15 hands would be ideal under 14-year-old. Only one brain cell required. Handle multiple sizes of riders and don't need to be well-trained or fancy. And the picture is for illustration purposes only. Oh, my God, this picture is fantastic. She literally drew a sick horse with like a potato-shaped body.
I love it. She has little signs pointing to different parts of the body. She has a sign that says empty pointed to the head and potato shape on the belly.
On the very bottom, it says hooves not shown, but are a deal breaker.
Okay, that was more of a funny ad than anything. Rachel sent this one in. North Alabama horses.
Time out. This is my friend Rachel.
Oh, it is?
In Alabama, and we're going to give her a big virtual hug because she had a horsey crash this weekend, and she is laid up for a minute, and of course, she's like dying to ride again, but I'm like, honey, you have a broken body. So we love you, Rachel. We're sending you all the love.
Apparently, she had nothing else to do but look for ads for us, so thank you, Rachel.
Yep. Oh, thanks, Rachel.
You're okay. Jeez. So all that training you went out to Jamie's for didn't help is what I'm saying.
Listen, it wasn't my fault. The whole thing is, this is how the horses get you, right? She got suckered. She said she had the most lovely ride in the arena and her horse was absolutely perfect. And so she decided, let's go ride around in the pasture. What could possibly go wrong? Well, everything went wrong. She said that three legitimate things that would spook a horse happened all at once, and she became a lawn dart. So we're thinking of ya. Love ya.
Well, she sent this one in from North Alabama horses. I have two colts. Oh, wait a minute.
No. Wait. You got to do it in some sort of Alabama thing.
I don't have an Alabama accent. I have two colts on the loose in Ardmore, Tennessee. They aren't halter broke and will probably take a couple of people on four-wheelers and maybe someone that can rope them, but if someone catches them, they can have them. Didn't see that coming. But if someone catches them, they can have them. The bay is three and the other one is two. I'm at a loss of what to do. If you know someone that could help, please send me a message. Thank you. They don't want them back.
And the pictures of them are on streets. Like they're just walking around on roads.
On the road. Apparently getting loose has been a common. They have proper fencing too. They have wooden fencing.
That's the fencing along the road. I think I'm at a loss of what to do. Build a fence, Electrovite. Work harder. Yeah. I loved it. Just like take them. They're mine. I know it's my fault. Just take them.
I don't want them anymore. This was supposed to be fun.
I give that advice to people all the time. I'm like, this is supposed to be fun. Tim sent this one in from Kentucky Horses and Tack Facebook page.
We're all over the South today.
I mean, oh God, there's not a lick of punctuation.
Good luck doing this with an accent.
Oh my God. Okay. Hi, gonna try and sail these is two horses again, the black. And what is a geld? Oh, that's a new spelling for gelding. Spell it for everybody.
G-E-L-D-E-N. That's a new one. We have seen them all.
It's a Kentucky gelding. It's a gelding bout. The word is actually bout. About 12
That's
years.
How it's spelled in Kentucky. They have their own dictionary.
They leave letters off the front and the back. The white one is a gelding about 12 years. The white mare is 20 or older, both. Rod will not separate is actually spelled correctly, or take any less than 16. They ain't gated. And gated is spelled wrong. They ain't gated as I know of. So don't ask sailing as great best to come look at them. What did I just read? I don't know.
You're taking them both. That's all I got out of this one. Allison sent the trailer of the week. this is a classic.
I'm sorry. I'm still looking at that one, trying to figure it out, but go ahead.
Horse trailer, $800. Description. Ooh. Needs a gate. Has swinging stalls already inside. Location is Pushluska, Oklahoma.
That's Paul Huska, Glenn. Get it right. That's okay. Paul Huska, Oklahoma.
This is one of those. This is a stock trailer that was a stock trailer. It was a stock trailer. Let's start there. It was a stock trailer. And it is buried in the ground. As a matter of fact, the whole thing appears to be sitting on the ground and has no back doors. And it says it has stalls inside, but I don't know. I don't see any.
No.
I really don't see any. And the rust is the color. That's it's rust color. And I'm sure the lights don't work and the tires don't have air.
Let's be fair. The rust is not the color. There is also a very beautiful hue of mold.
Yes. Yes. And the weeds have grown up all around it. Again, they didn't weed whack around it before they took the picture. Because why would
it appears
they?
That the weeds are growing into the back of it, it that does, has no door.
And there's and this of random course, crate that I don't want to know what's in the back of there in that crate.
Plenty of trash in the back for you to take too. You can have it all. Oh, and they're dropped down. It used to be 1,000, now it's 800.
It's got to go to 400 for us to be approved. Our trailers they can't be more than $400 for a bad ad trailer. Don't buy it.
Okay, this next one I found on Craigslist. It's real short, but this is what I do when I'm bored. And here it is: 4-year-old blue roan gelding mare. Oh wait, 4-year-old blue roan gelding mare is. Quarter horse. Is it a mare or gelding? Super gentle and very good mind. He had it in him, but after a recent hospital stay, I'm not thinking I'm the one to bring it out.
What?
It's so Oklahoma. He had it in him, Glenn, but after a recent hospital stay, I'm not thinking I'm the one to bring it out.
Is so that basically why it's a the mare horse. Now? I'm so lost.
4-year-old blue roan gelding mare is quarter horse. Oh wait, maybe his mom. You know what? If we have to figure these out, they're not good ads.
I really have no idea what's going on in that one. All I know is somebody was in the hospital. I don't even know.
And 100%, this horse put him in the hospital. He had him in him, but after I've been in the hospital, I ain't thinking I'm the one to bring it out. Okay. Sorry. This is short but sweet. I was just confused. And if I'm confused, it's a bad ad. Okay. I'm a little too excited. Aaron sent this one in. Okay.
That's Vermont.
Vermont. Okay. This is from the Everything Horse Vermont Facebook page. And this is a picture of like one of those between the ears photos, and she's on pretty horse with like pretty ears, like looking out into a pretty field. And the ad is, does anyone have yearlings for sale? Well, you know what? I know some weedlings that are looking for homes.
Wait a minute. There's criteria.
Okay. Does anyone have yearlings for sale? Preferably fillies. Oop, now I'm out. Any color except chestnut, cremello, and gray. Any breeds. Just nothing gated, thoroughbreds, or warm bloods. $100,000, please.
Yeah, good luck with that. I'll take anything except all of these things.
Except for all the. So basically, you're looking for a black
quarter horse
filly. Yeah, <that's right>. Good luck.
Caitlin sent this one in. Looking for a friendly, reliable, free horse located in Maine. Are we all? This is a theme today. Yes, we're all looking for reliable free horses. Good luck with that.
I'm looking for something really that'll take me to, like, you know, meter and a half, but it has to be free.
Yep. Good luck. Hey, Maine, if you go down south, there's a couple horses loose on the road. You can grab one of those.
I'm sure they're friendly.
You're going to need a four-wheeler to catch them, apparently. But you'll be fine. Bring that along. But everybody in Maine is a four-wheeler, so it should be fine.
Some friends. Bring some friends.
Elliot sent this one in. Oh, it's a sad-looking horse. Good trail horse. Bandit is 19. Oh, there's no punctuation. Bandit is 19. He is go, then woe, and loves trails, and he is an ex-barrel horse, but he is kind of tired of it. He hates cows, but he's a busolut sweetheart. I would say he would be good for a teen, and he has a small limp, but has no heat and does not hurt him at all. Oh, I'm sure it doesn't.
Sure, he's perfectly sound. A-hole?
This ex-feral horse is perfectly sound. He doesn't like cows, though, so that won't work. Don't buy him for it. He's a 19, you know, but he loves trails.
Just put your kid on him. He'll just limp down the road. It'll be fine.
Well, he can't go very fast. He's limping.
Exactly. Remember, no soul. We read these and we're entertained by them because we have no soul when we start reading these. Janice sent this one in, and this is Middle Georgia. Oh man, the South is represented today. I'm so proud. Middle Georgia Horse and Tack Facebook page. Maya, 15 years old, grade spotted saddle horse, 15-1 or 15-2. I bought Maya in May, was told she's rideable. Well, I can get on her back, but I'd not call what happens for the next few minutes riding.
Well, depends how long you stay on.
You know what? I was watching the bronc horses yesterday, the bareback riding. Maya's one of them. I can get on her back, but I'm not cool what happens for the next few minutes riding. She is a project, all caps. She is spooky and flighty, and her legs are hard to handle. But in the short time I've had her, she has shown progress. So she is trainable.
Just not by me.
Oh, God. She is on stall rest right now, having had a few stitches in her hind leg. Wonder how they found out you couldn't touch her hind legs. Yeah. Vet says she'll be 100% in a few weeks, so no test rides. She is a project, so take her as she is.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight.
Did it say a price? It didn't say a price. Free. It's like the other horses today. Free.
Okay, well, so you take her as she is. She's got stitches. She's on stall rest. You can't ride her, and you can't touch her. Yay! Sold!
It should be free. All right, that's going to be it for today. We'll save the rest for next week. We're running out of time here. Thank you so much for sending your ads in. You can get them into JenniferHorseRadioNetwork.com. Congratulations to this week's winner of my box of crap, which I'm going to ship out to you shortly. And we appreciate you all being here all week. Be safe this weekend. There's so much weather going on in the country. We hope you are all safe. And Jamie, I have fill-ins, by the way, for next week. We have new episodes for you. I have a special guest star on Monday filling in. And then Wednesday, I think I have Lisa's coming back. She'll give us an update on the movie also, what's going on with that. And then Ashley will be here on Friday. So we'll have a full week of shows for you, just minus Jamie is going out and playing with the ponies in Colorado.
Yeah. So, I'm going to go visit Zeus and Miles and Billy.
Is it just you this time, or is the family coming too?
Oh, the family goes. I can't drive 12 hours. Chad drives. He has one job.
All right. Well, you guys all have a great time. I know they do some fishing and stuff while they're there too. So
yeah, it's really fun.
Auditors, hang on. We're going to talk about horse color and what's your favorite in the post show.
All right, everybody. Have a great week. I'll miss you all. Spade, neuter, yelp.